All right, it's Wednesday, which means Bill Littlefield graces us with his presence in the Radio Boston studio.
That's
hello,
such a gentle
Bill.
Sting into sports. That was very
Oh, should
sweet.
We have, like, I don't know, like blaring trumpets?
Talk about figure skating or something.
No. But before I forget, I mean, not that we wouldn't
yeah.
if figure skating
just
was in the news this week, but before I forget, let me just remind folks, because not that they need it, but that Bill Littlefield's host of NPR's Only a Game. So, okay, well, let's start with a little more vigorous sports noise. How about some happy noise from the Celtics on Monday?
Here's Rozier again.
Why not?
Game one win to the house here, 117-101.
All right, great. 117-101 against Philly, but it's just the first of seven.
That's the issue. Yeah, the Celtics looked absolutely wonderful. And that is especially incredible given the number of injuries they've sustained throughout the year. And then, of course, most recently in that game. And the 76ers couldn't throw a rock into the ocean. They were awful. I do not think they will be as cooperative for the rest of the series in terms of throwing up bricks from all over, and especially from three-point land. They're a pretty good three-point shooting team, and they simply could not find the range at all. Missed a lot of open shots. So you give credit to the Celtics for playing very good defense, especially in spurts, and for doing what they needed to do to get the ball in the basket. But the 76ers looked like the 6 days off that they earned by making fairly short work of the opposition in their first series did not do them any good. They might have been better off playing a six-game or seven-game series and not being quite
well,
so rusty.
Now you're making me feel like the Celts should have won by like 30 or 40 points. But we'll see what happens tomorrow night, though, right?
That's quite a gap, 16 points in a final series. You know, look at the Cavaliers. They needed overtime to win the first game in their series last night.
Okay. So. And as I know you've said before, on Only a Game in Here, all it takes is one, right? And like ultimately you win, even if it's just by one. It's a win.
1 point does it.
Okay. So again, so we'll see what happens tomorrow night for game two there. Let's move on to the Bruins. They play to Tampa Bay tonight at 7. They lost to Tampa Bay on Monday 4-2. Just an off night there for the Bruins, or maybe an indication of
well,
where things
Tampa,
are going?
Tampa finished ahead of them in the regular season standings. So you can't really... You know, the Bruins are a favorite tonight because they're playing at home, and I am a firm believer that the home ice advantage in hockey is greater than, say, the home court advantage in basketball, simply
Why?
Because hockey fans make so much noise. And they get so excited. And, you know, they're rooting for all kinds of things besides goals, like fights. And
now, did you say that Tampa Bay came out ahead of the Bruins
in
the regular season?
Yeah, they were in first. The Bruins were in second in the
Atlantic
Division.
Oh, okay. But in terms of their head-to-heads over the regular season, the Bruins won more.
Yeah, which means approximately nothing.
Oh, come on.
Well, you have to look at all the long season. You have to look at travel. You have to look at who's injured and who's not playing well and all the rest of it. So I was talking to somebody about this earlier. It's true of both hockey and basketball, the NHL and the NBA both, that there really is a certain amount of sense to starting to pay attention at a whole nother level when they get to the postseason because you really get the feeling that the players do that. And so why shouldn't the fans do that as well? Just a non-Boston issue. But people talked about how the Cavaliers didn't look nearly as strong, blah, 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 this year. And maybe that'll happen. Maybe they won't make it to the finals this time around. But, you know, LeBron James gets them to overtime the other night, and then you can turn the TV off because he's going to win in overtime. even though the other team looked better for 98% of the game. It's just the playoffs are different.
Okay.
And the intensity level is different. So I don't know.
So what are you supposed to do is snooze through the first half of every regular season?
Yeah, the first half, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, pay attention to, you know, catching up on your reading and
read a book, Bill
right.
Littlefield says.
Like,
so much for
38
the season
years,
ticket
you can't
holders.
Blame me for that.
Okay. That's true.
English it was, if I recall.
All right. I know that it's not football season here for the NFL, but let's talk
It's always football season. That's the astonishing thing about the NFL. They have made it always football season. People get all excited about the draft.
The spectacle of the draft.
It's a spectacle of the draft where they pick players who nobody knows whether they'll be any good for at least a couple of years when they finally get...
They do know how to sell a good show.
Yes, I absolutely agree
with you on that. But I'm going to talk about Tom Brady for a second because he did an interview on Monday at the Milken Institute Global Conference in Beverly Hills.
And he wishes he hadn't.
Well, because he was asked whether he feels appropriate gratitude from Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. And here's what Tom Brady said.
I plead the fifth.
Athletes should not make jokes.
What was going on there?
I have no idea. I really have no idea. The only thing I can think is if there was any substance at all behind that quip, it may be that Tom Brady is now far enough along in his career so that he's recognizing that at the point where he can no longer be a very effective quarterback, his value will very quickly sink to nothing, and he will be in the Hall of Fame, and he will be widely respected by people who talk about great quarterbacks of all time, but he will be of no further use to Mr. Belichick or Mr. Kraft.
That's the business of
the
game.
Exactly. But
his last contract was $41 million.
Exactly.
In
America, that is a significant gesture of appreciation.
I say. I mean.
The other thing is, you know, athletes are no different from the rest of us in one respect, and that is that probably none of us ever feel we're sufficiently appreciated. We know
for
everything.
For 99% of folks, that probably is true.
Yeah, well, we know everything from the inside of our own head and the inside of our own heart, and we know how dedicated we are to the things that we're trying to do as well as we can do them, and we don't probably think that other people quite understand the depth of our dedication and hard work. And of course, that's very silly, but the human condition is a very silly condition. So that's how it is.
You were such a
compassionate man. I can say this kind
of
stuff now. It's such fun.
With all due respect to Tom Brady, I am not feeling that same level of compassion as you are. But anyway, so.
He's also, you know, his wife says he's been hit in the head a lot.
Well, yes. Okay.
Nobody else will acknowledge that. But.
Bringing us back down to serious issues. In sports. I mean, that's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, so since you talked about getting hit in the head, I want to just, in the last couple minutes we have here, Bill, let's talk about the new developments in ongoing studies over CTE, of course. Mm-hmm. Those are the brain injuries suffered from folks playing high-impact sports a lot. And the Globe recently reported that former NFL players suffering from brain injuries, including some former Patriots, are seeking help from a healthcare entrepreneur, Larry Burns, and he's helped former players gain millions of dollars in the NFL's worker compensation and disability programs. What's going on here?
Well, I think what's going on is the players to whom you're referring are desperate. They don't feel they're getting the help they need from the National Football Association, National Football League. And so this guy says, I can help you. I can put you up. I can get you money to which you're entitled. I've got some medical procedures that
I've
are going to help
you. I've also
got
a rap sheet.
Yeah, the guy's been arrested any
number
of times.
Felony fraud conviction.
He's a felon, and he's been in prison. But if you're desperate and you get headaches all the time and you can't remember your children's names, maybe you go to anybody who says, don't worry about a thing. I can get you some assistance, and you'll feel better, and I can get you some money. Because any offer is better than what some of these guys have encountered so far, which is an awful lot of bureaucracy and not much help.
I mean, so, okay, you were just saying, we were just talking a minute ago about Tom Brady feeling underappreciated, perhaps. I mean, what about these guys?
Well, this is the crazy world that the National Football League has created, that they are very, very, the best of them and the luckiest of them who have long careers are very, very highly compensated. But how much do you have to be compensated to make up for the fact that your brain doesn't work very well many, many, many years earlier than would be the case with somebody who hasn't gotten hit in the head a lot?
Wow. Well, Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs right here on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. A compassionate journalist, to say the least. Bill, thank you so very much.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.